This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
The piece I just played there was called Will I Weep For Me, which was a song written in 1932 by Anne Ronell. She wrote the words and the music for that song. And the beautiful voice behind that was Sunny Kim, who is our guest in the studio this evening. Good evening, Sunny.
Good evening.
Thanks for coming in to see us on a Sunday night.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You are a lecturer of fine arts at the University of Melbourne in the music area there. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be working with the Australian Art Orchestra, who's Peter Knight, and mm-hmm. also Daniel Wilfred mm-hmm. In their Meeting Point series. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be doing a program called Hand to Earth.
Yes.
Yeah, a very different sort of program, I think, to what we just heard just then. That was a beautiful piece mm-hmm. of music there.
Yeah.
There were a fantastic interpretation of Will I Weep For Me, quite different yeah. to recordings of Sarah Vaughan or Ella Fitzgerald.
Right.
You really use your voice in a different way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to ask you about what it is that you do with your voice, that you take it from singing jazz standards like that into mm-hmm. what you're going to be doing with Hand to Earth.
You know, now that I've been singing jazz standards and, you know, been working in music for, I guess, over 20 years, I have a different concept or, you know, perspective of what jazz is from, you know, when I started to now. It's been a journey. You know, when I think of jazz, I think of meeting people. I think about the relationships, and it's, you know, of course it's musical conversations, but also it's personal. So it's really meeting with a whole another set of background, you know, experiences, and, you know, really meeting people in the heart, you know, and opening up. And so it's the same if I play with musicians in New York, you know, whose practice is primarily in jazz, you know, playing jazz standards or contemporary jazz standards that they have created. Singing with, for instance, you know, Daniel Wilfred, who is a Manike,
yes.
Indigenous Australian singer. And so, you know, it's really meeting in the heart in sound and creating together.
Yeah. Would you say that, I guess, the feelings are very important and how you feel the music? And guess what I'm getting at here? I'm fumbling my words, my apologies for that. because I enjoyed listening to that particular piece because of the way that you drew out your voice, and it's almost like an instrument. Mm-hmm. And would you say that you're using your voice as an instrument as well when you go into the new pieces, when you're working with people like Daniel? Because often Indigenous voices and Indigenous music can sound like a musical instrument as well, rather than words as we understand words in English.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the sort of feeling that you're getting with what you're going to be doing with the Australian Art Orchestra?
Yeah, so, you know, when I first heard Daniel sing, which was about 3.5 years ago at a workshop, an annual workshop hosted by an Australian Art Orchestra called Creative Music Intensive in Tasmania. I was blown away by the sounds. I mean, I had no idea what he was singing about, obviously. But
had you heard any of his previous work or the previous work that the Australian Art Orchestra had done? Like, they had done some other stuff with Indigenous people.
Yeah,
One called Crossing Roper Bar.
That's
had
right.
you heard any of that previously?
Not at that point. I've heard of it now, but I hadn't heard of any of it.
Yes.
So it was really new to me, and just a pure, you know, experience of meeting with whole another set of, you know, sounds that a voice can make.
Yes.
You know, it really drew me into his work and, you know, his presence. And I was so curious. I just kind of following him around in the workshop, and finally I had a chance to ask him, like, let's sing together. and we did. And the
what did you sing?
Oh, it was very interesting, actually. So it was a kind of a pop-up concert, very casual, and people were just kind of spontaneously getting up to perform. And when I asked him if he wanted to sing together, he nodded, and he thought for a while, and he said, "We sing about stars."
Yes.
like you heard, I love working with my voice to create, not just to sing lyrics or melodies, but to create kind of a soundscape.
Yes.
With them, I like to work with electronics and loopers and, you know, things like that. And so that's what happened at that concert. So we had not sung together at all. We were kind of on the spot and under the theme of stars, and we created something together. And it was the most fulfilling experience for me, because it really put me kind of out of my own comfort zone and into this pure openness of possibility of creation.
So you created on the spot then?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have something prepared that he said to you, "I've got this. Can you join in with me on this?" You just did it together on the spot there.
Yeah. Totally improvised.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Well, that's the beauty of jazz, I think, and where it can take you, because it's so much of it is improvised, and you kind of get used to creating on the spot and really talking and engaging with somebody and meeting with somebody at that level where it's just pure joy of creation.
Yes, and with that meeting with Daniel when you first met him 3 years ago in Tasmania, he was obviously performing down there, mm-hmm. and you were there obviously as part of the audience rather than as a performer. Is that I'm making an assumption there?
No, we were actually invited by the orchestra as faculty members to facilitate, you know, learning. For a lot of younger musicians.
Were there other younger musicians from different parts of Australia there as well?
Yeah,
were there?
That's right.
Okay, so it was a workshop.
From all over. Uh-huh. And some from Asia, like other parts of, you know, the country of the world too. A lot from other countries of Asia, and yeah.
And was that your first involvement then with the Australian Arts Orchestra also, or had you had previous involvement with them?
Well, I had met Peter Knight, who's now the artistic director of Australian Art Orchestra, about 10 years ago when he came to Korea to look for a collaborator. Someone had introduced me to him, and again, it was pretty immediate that we were going to get along, and you know, musically as well as personally. And he had another really fabulous musician, Chris Hale, bassist from Melbourne there, and we started playing and improvising and formed a trio called Bright Splinters. And so they would
come to... Were you performing in Korea with
Bright
Splinters?
Yeah, we were. Yeah. So, you know, maybe once a year or something they would come over. But Peter invited me after he became the director at the AAO. He invited me to this workshop. And so I had the pleasure of meeting, you know, musicians, not just Daniel, but fabulous musicians from all over Australia.
Yeah, I think the Australian Orchestra does a fantastic job of putting people together mm-hmm. for different sounds and for different reasons.
Yeah.
And the series that they're presenting at the moment is really good as well. Mm-hmm. Just going back to your work in Korea, mm-hmm. were you also academically involved with music in Korea, or were you writing music and recording music? What was your background there?
Yeah, so I was doing it all, really. I was, as soon as I, you know, finished my studies in the States at the New England Conservatory in Boston, I moved to New York and try to go to hear and meet as many musicians as possible. And, you know, there were so many amazing musicians and playing all kinds of really diverse, you know, music that under the title of jazz.
Yes, as we talked about, it's very broad, isn't it? You can cover a lot of things off with jazz.
That's right. And I guess jazz, and it's so important, I think, that in the core, it has this elements of cultures meeting.
Yes.
You know, and it kind of encourages other cultures to come in, and it's so kind of, it's so inclusive. So I felt quite welcome to that community, and even though it was, and it's so competitive there, so it was quite tough, but it was such a good school, really. You know, I saw and met and played with so many great musicians, and but I had to teach to make a living.
A lot of musicians, I think, are yeah. the same as you.
Yeah, but I love teaching, and you know, it brings me a lot of joy sharing my experiences, you know, with people who can kind of benefit from it. And yes.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Sunny, you were just saying that you've only been in Australia for a year and a half.
Yeah.
So you were working in the US and then you went back to Korea. Mm-hmm. How long did you spend in Korea before coming?
About here? 10 years.
And was that all recording? Because we did listen to a piece earlier from an album from 2012 called mm-hmm. Painter's Eye that was beautiful to listen to also.
Yeah. So past 10 years, I think I've released 5 of my own records. And
were they albums that you had written or records that you had written all the pieces yourselves, musically or lyrically, or was it albums of other people's works?
The 5 were my own, but you know, not all of it was original material. Some were jazz standards, yes. And some were also free improvisation. But there were 20 others, other records that I sang on, I contributed to.
That's quite a feat. The piece that we listened to, Painter's Eye, that was in the Korean language. Do
That's
you sing
right.
a lot in Korean, or do you sing mostly in English, or do you have a preference, or what's
good question. Yeah. Well, I've done most of my singing in English and in wordless form, you know, which is called, I guess, scat.
Yeah.
But
and we can come to that a little bit more when we talk about the work with the AAO, because I guess that's wordless.
Yeah, anyway. Uh-huh. Yeah. But I guess the scat, the word scat sounds a little bit traditional, so people don't really use that word so much anymore. It's because it's kind of more very specific.
I think it gives people an image of someone yeah. like Ella Fitzgerald,
exactly.
who is well known for it. And there's uh-huh. a lot of singers who perform in that style as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, I sing sometimes in Korean, and I really enjoy that. Of course, it's because it's my mother tongue, I feel really comfortable, you know, singing in Korean, and it feels, you know, maybe closer to my heart.
Yeah. You did mention earlier that Painter's Eye, which was released in 2012, was a collection of poems from a Korean poet, and mm-hmm. you put the music to it.
Yeah, that's right. So after not having lived in Korea for half of my life, when I went, you know, when I went back to Korea, I felt a little bit like I was a stranger in my own country, really, because I had been away for so long, and I'd left it when I was so young, and I was rediscovering it and trying to find and connect to the land and the culture and the people. And I was maybe struggling a little bit, you know, but came across this book of poetry, and also it had, so the poet is also a painter, so it had on one side painting and then on the other side a poem to go along together. When I saw that, I remembered the feeling of like my childhood, and because all the paintings and the poems were inspired by Korean landscape and very like beautiful in the southern part of for some reason the poems are quite childlike. It had this childlike innocence. Very simple, mm-hmm. exactly, and they're mostly very short. And I remembered that feeling, you know, of sitting down in front of the house that I used to live in when I was a child, and in the silence, you know, and all that. Because, you know, Korea is a very super modern country right now, but it wasn't yet when
yeah,
I was growing up. So it was remembering that. And so that working on that record really helped me to reconnect with, you know, what it means for me to be Korean.
Have you come across any Australian artists who have done similar things with poetry? And one that just came to mind is a vocalist whose name is Kristen Barati. I don't know whether you've heard of her work. She comes from Brisbane. And a couple of years ago, she released an album that was all based on poetry and letters that have been written during wars. And then she put the music to it and put her own voice to it. I don't know whether you've heard of her. And just then when you were talking about that,
yeah.
it popped into my my head. In fact, I jotted her name down so it didn't pop out of my head again. I wondered whether you'd heard of her or collaborated with any people in Australia along with similar sorts of things, because artists do the same sort of thing here.
I think music always asks profound questions to us.
Yes.
You know, because the music that we make and who we are so involved, you know,
yes.
So connected. So, you know, those questions of identity, the questions of, you know, where we are, who we are,
yes.
Those sort of things, they're kind of unavoidable, really.
So moving then to the work that you're going to be doing with the AAO and with the performance that you've got, which is actually on the 23rd of February,
yep.
Sunday the 23rd of February at 5 p.m. in the afternoon. It's in the pavilion at the Arts Centre. That work, I guess that all has a lot to do with identity as well.
Yeah.
And there's I don't like to use the word collision, but I guess it is a collision of three different cultures, Australian Indigenous culture, your culture, and also Peter Knight, who comes from a white Australian culture.
Mm-hmm.
How do your three identities mesh?
I think really peacefully,
Or am I overthinking it?
Oh, no. I mean, I think it's a really good question. And there, you know, look, it's been a journey of getting to know each other better and knowing each other's perspective and how we think about music and life and relationships. So it's been a really beautiful learning experience for all of us, I think.
Have all the pieces that you're going to be performing, and how many pieces are there in the performance that you do?
There's going to be about six pieces.
And have they all been specifically written for the Hand to Earth performance?
Yes. One that you will hear, it's called Guguk. The word Guguk means like a specific bird, you know, from Arnhem Land. And so we call it the bird song. And Daniel always says the song is about one bird from Arnhem Land and another from Korea.
Okay.
I know. And this song really came out of conversations around, you know, our love for the nature, and, you know, it's kind of imagining us as birds flying over the beautiful Australian landscape and really joining in hearts to send love to it, really. And so, you know, I think when we connect on that level, there are no differences, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. With that, with you and Daniel using your voices, and I did listen to that piece this afternoon, there's a lot of beautiful harmony in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very relaxing to listen to. What is Peter doing musically?
Mm-hmm.
Is he, because sometimes when we've heard works from the AAO, there is a very definite jazz sound that comes through.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there can be not a jazz sound, then it creeps in a little bit halfway through for a little bit, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
So you might hear piano, or you might hear trumpet, or some other jazz sounds, I guess, more traditional jazz sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some of that that goes along with this as well, or is it a little bit more subtle? Because I didn't pick it up in Guguk. I didn't pick it
right.
up so much.
Well, you know, Peter Knight is such an interesting musician, because he is very skillful in, you know, jazz language, but also he's interested in so many other kinds of music. He's developed his own language using his electronics and doing live processing of his trumpet sounds. And so, and you know, on this song, he's really kind of setting the tone and kind of the environment. He's kind of drawing, he's painting, you know, the landscape and the sky, and, you know, maybe the sunset.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're all kind of meeting in the place of imagination, really.
Are there only three of you in the performance, or are there other musicians as well?
Hand to Earth is a trio,
yes.
project, but this concert, we're going to have special guests. David Wilfred, who's Daniel Wilfred's uncle,
mm-hmm.
who's a beautiful didgeridoo player. Another musician, Aviva Endine, who is a great multi-reedist based in Melbourne.
We should have a listen to a piece of, let's have a listen to a snippet perhaps, a couple of minutes of Guguk.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite a long piece. It goes for nearly 10 minutes. So perhaps we can just have a listen to a few minutes of it, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
We just had a listen to a part of Guguk. We didn't listen to the whole thing because it does go for nearly 10 minutes. So we listened to about 4 minutes of it. Your voice in there is actually beautiful. You're not using any words. I guess you're just using your voice as an instrument there. But interestingly, Daniel is actually using words, I guess, in his indigenous language.
Yeah, in Wagilak.
Yeah. How do you fit in with that? Have you planned how you use your voice alongside his words to make it like an instrument? Or is it just something that you're working with as you go?
Well, we've performed a song a lot now, you know, in Tasmania, recently at the Barunga Festival, Bernard Center. Every time we do it, it's different. But of course, the first time we sang it together, it was wide open and, you know, it was kind of creating it together. But now I would say it kind of settled to have a specific form. So, you know, Peter would start with creating the soundscape with his sounds, and then I would usually come in with like a bird sound and like a bird call, and then and Daniel would come in and sing, you know, the melody in Wagilak, and he always invites me to sing in Wagilak with him, and so he's taught me, he's set me down and, you know, went through all the whole, you know, words and the lyrics and the melody and, you know, corrected me and everything. And he really wants me to sing together with him. So, you know, I'll sometimes sing in Wagalog with him, and then I'll do a bit of kind of my own interpretation of vocal interpretation of the song and the feeling in the song.
If you sing in Wagalog, then can he provide the harmony that you provide when he's singing?
Yeah.
Do you kind of reverse roles at all? Have you tried
that? Yeah. So sometimes it feels like I'm leading the melody and then he'll sing it like a call and response. So yeah, it's not always that he's leading the song. He actually lets me lead the song half of the time, and then he'll kind of come in and wrap it up and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really like this open interplay.
Mm-hmm. Sunny, the whole program that you're performing is about the stars, and it's a fire, and it's about rain,
yes,
which is a really very topical thing for Australia right now. What do some of the other pieces sound like? Like, what kind of feeling do they get? That's a very peaceful piece. The Guguk piece is a very peaceful piece, I guess, because it's, you know, it's about, you know, like a bird soaring over the landscape,
yes,
and that sort of thing. But what about something that's talking about the fire or the rain? What sort of sounds? What do you do differently with those pieces?
Yeah, we do have more songs in Wagilak, and then we have introduced a song in Korean also, which is, the Korean song is about flowers. A certain type of flower, like a wild rose, and mother also. So like often these, whether it's stars or it's water or salt water or fresh water or flowers, they all kind of have double or triple meanings, right? So this flower also symbolizes mother. And there's another song that it's we call it Water Song. It starts with fresh water and then it goes into salt water. Really, the words are very simple. Let's go take a swim in the water. Let water wash us. You know, but these songs are really ceremonial songs in their origin. And, you know, it's really, for instance, that freshwater song is about kind of washing ourselves, like, and washing our souls and, you know, kind of cleansing us and healing ourselves.
Is there a particular pattern that the songs go in the order that you perform them in the program? Do they take you through that cleansing process? Do you come at the end thinking, wow, I feel... like I've come in maybe a little bit stressed from my day or something like that, but I've come out the other end in a more calm state.
Yeah.
Is that the idea behind choice of the songs?
Yeah, I think the most of those ceremonial songs are meant for those things, or it has those motivations or intentions behind them of really reconnecting with who you are and wanting more peace, wanting more, you know, joy. So I think, you know, even for every kind of music, I think it's all about, it's transformation, really, yes. And storytelling and bringing ourselves as performers, but also inviting the audience to go to places, you know, and transform ourselves.
And speaking of going to places and transforming yourself, because I know that you've been talking about the Wagalak language and working with Daniel there. When you're singing in Korean, or perhaps you're also singing in English, what happens to the other people who are with you on the stage there? So when you're singing in Korean, what does Daniel do? How does he fold mm-hmm. in to that?
So they know what the song means. You know, we've talked about it, and so everyone is on the same page with that. And so everyone worked on the song and developing it. You know, people just kind of tried their own parts. You know, and so
improvising to mm-hmm. fall in
yeah,
to what's happening.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that's that whole relationship that when our conversation started, we talked about the music being a part of a relationship and how
yeah.
you form those relationships with people.
Right.
And you should be able to do it. I guess the three of you should be able to do it in whatever language you need to, whether Daniel is doing it in his language, you're doing it mm-hmm. in your language, Peter is doing it in his language, which I guess is the language of the instruments.
Yeah.
And you all just fall into line with it. Is that?
It's really about allowing each other and, you know, allowing the space and creating the space for each other to shine and, you know, really trying to understand what the best thing that each other can contribute. Also trusting that, you know, what we come up with is really genuine connection and creating.
I think that is a wonderful way to kind of end our chat about this and for our listeners to think about, you know, coming to see the performance on the 23rd of February. It's at 5 p.m. at the Pavilion at the Australian Arts Centre. That connection with other people, isn't it? It's
yeah.
the harmony.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's beautiful. For our listeners, if you would like to go along and see that performance, it's called, the series is called the Meeting Point Series. This particular one is Hand to Earth. Sunny Kim has been my guest in the studio this evening, and she's a vocalist along with Daniel Wilfred and also Peter Knight, who is the leader of the Australian Art Orchestra. You can get tickets from the artscentremelbourne.com.au. Sunny, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about it and sharing your experience of working with the AAO, you know, that whole collaborative effect of music and forming relationships.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
We've
for
enjoyed
having
it
me.
Very much. I hope that our listeners do go and see it. And thanks for sharing your music as well. We did listen to a couple of pieces of yours, as I said before, and they're really, really beautiful. We look forward to seeing you, hopefully even performing in some other places in Melbourne mm-hmm. at some point in time.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
We're going to go away now as we say goodbye to you. We're going to listen to a piece by the AAO. It's off an album that was released, well, maybe, I reckon about 7 years ago, perhaps. It was called Crossing Roper Bar. Have you listened to that, Sunny?
Yes, I have. Uh-huh.
Yeah, really beautiful music, and Daniel was involved mm-hmm. with this as well. Thanks for coming in. The piece that we're going to play is called Looking for Home.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.